Psalm 119, verse 25 through 32. The psalmist, we're not sure who it is, but we do know who is behind and who is the ultimate author of Scripture, which is the Holy Spirit. Verse 25, "My soul cleaveth unto the dust. Quicken thou me according to thy word. I have declared my ways, and thou heardest me. Teach me thy statutes. Make me to understand the way of thy precepts, so shall I talk of thy wondrous works. My soul melteth for heaviness. Strengthen thou me according unto thy word. Remove from me the way of lying, and grant me thy law graciously. I have chosen the way of truth. Thy judgments have I laid before me. I have stuck unto thy testimonies. O Lord, put me not to shame. I will run the way of thy commandments when thou shalt enlarge my heart." And that is God's word, and all God's people said. And let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you. We are so grateful that we have your word. And my prayer is that you would kindle in our souls a greater love for it, a greater appreciation of it, knowing that it is God's word and that it is beneficial for us. You have given us your word. You have given us the revelation of yourself. You have given us what we need to know so that our souls can be rescued and redeemed from sin and from hell. We thank you. We pray that you'd give us a desire to know more, a desire to spend more time and to learn of you, knowing it's great help to us. Lead us, guide us, direct us, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. We're looking at Psalm 119, which details for us the benefits of the Word of God for the believer. We have already seen that the Word of God has a ministry to believers. It produces in us happiness, holiness, humility, and the honoring of God. So if we want happiness, and if we desire holiness, and if we need humility, and if we want to honor God, then we need to be more active into the Word of God, because that's what the Word of God produces in the life of those who read it and study it. Then we notice that the Word of God has a sanctifying effect on believers, and the only way that we can really cleanse our way is through the Word of God. We are sanctified by the truth of the Word of God. And then last time we were together, we looked at the life of the Word, where we saw that the psalmist was living his life for the glory of God, and our lives should be also lived for the glory of God, seeking to have our eyes open to those wondrous works of God that are contained in His Word. And opposition should not deter us from this pursuit. Tonight we're going to look at encouragement from the Word of God. And I think that all of us from time to time need encouraging. We need strengthening. And I think a lot of times we look in the wrong places for help in those areas, and we need to be looking in the Word of God. So let's look. I'm going to give you five things tonight, so I have to travel quickly. Number one, the discouragements of life. My soul cleaveth unto the dust. Quicken thou me according to thy word. So the psalmist here says he is cleaving to the dust. The word cleaving there means stuck. Dust is an illustration of a low place. So what the psalmist is saying is that he is discouraged. The things of life have discouraged him. The things of life have depressed him. And so he knows here that the cure for that is the Word of God. So let's just walk through this real quickly. Notice the downcasting of his discouragement. The problems of life have this tendency to do exactly to us what they did to the psalmist. They drive us to a very low position. What he's trying to get across here, I think, is that he is overwhelmed by the difficulties that he is facing. He is in the dust. He is as low as he can go. And as much as he tries, as much effort as he puts in, he cannot seem to separate himself from the dust. He cannot seem to rise above the dust. He can't get out of the discouragement. He can't get out of the rut that he's in. He is in deep depression and he just is having great trouble trying to shake from it. The idea here is he's stuck. He's stuck in the dust. He's stuck in this low position. He's lower than low, and he has no hope of ever in his own self rising above it. But then he says this. He says, quicken thou me according to thy what? Word. So although he's downcast, although he's discouraged, although he's depressed and he feels that he can't get out of this dust that he's in, he prays to God that God would enliven him, God would help him, God would raise him from the dust by using His Word. So in his discouragement, in his depression, he cries out to the Lord. And notice what he seeks from the Lord, again, is that God would use the Word of God to bring him out of the dust. He knows that the Word of God will enliven him. The Word of God will move him from this low position that he's in. It is the Word that will cheer us. It is the Word that will help us in our difficulties. And the psalmist here knows that his hope, his only hope of escaping the cleaving to the dust, is the quickening of the Word. It is his only hope to ever rise above the dust as if the Word of God, and God through the Word of God, raises him from the dust. Where should we go when life discourages us? Where should we go when we are feeling low? Where should we go when we are feeling burdened? Well, we should go to the Word. Where's the last place we normally go? To the Word. We try everything else out except the Word. And the psalmist here clearly, the Word of God is clearly beneficial to those of us who need encouragement. We go to the Word. We read the Word. We study the Word. We come to church and we hear the preaching of the Word. We come to Sunday school. We hear the teaching of the Word. And as we hear the Word and as the Word begins to do its work by the power of God, we begin to rise out of the dust. If we ever get out of the dust, if we ever get out of the realm of discouragement, it will be by the Word of God that the believer will rise above the dust. And don't expect to read one verse of Scripture and to suddenly be miraculously removed from the dust. It may take weeks, it may take months. And we'll talk about that at the end here, but know in your heart that the cure for a believer who is in the dust is the Word of God. Number two, the deepening of life. The discouragements of life and then the deepening of life. Look what he says in verses 26 and 27. I have declared my ways, and thou heardest me. Teach me thy statutes. Make me to understand the way of thy precepts. So shall I talk of thy wondrous works. I think many of our problems can be traced back to our shallow spiritual condition. It seems like we're a mile wide and an inch deep. The fact of the matter is, in the church in America, we just don't know a whole lot about God. We know some things about God, but we don't know a whole lot about God. You remember Paul's desire in the New Testament? That I may know Him. What will help us to deepen our lives? What will help us to get out of the shallowness of our spirituality? What will help us encourage us and strengthen us? It will be the deepening of our spiritual lives in the Word of God. Notice his request. He says that he has declared to the Lord his problems. I have declared my ways. I have shared with God my problems. I have prayed and I have laid out all the difficulties, all the problems, all the discouragements that I have. And here's the wonderful part. He says, and he heard me. How many are glad tonight that when you pray, when you cry out to God, when you lay out your troubles, He hears us? He's not a deaf God. He hears His children. He hears our problems. He hears our difficulties. No matter how many difficulties we have or how low we are in the dust, He hears us when we cry. The problem is, we don't cry. The problem is we don't pray. Say amen. But if we cry out to the Lord, He will hear us. Now notice that he asked the Lord to teach him his statutes. Now listen, to be taught by anyone, especially the Lord, I have to acknowledge that I don't know it all. Amen. Have you ever been around those people that knew it all? Well, those people that know it all can't go any deeper because they've already attained it all. Amen? People don't go deeper in the Scriptures because either they're satisfied being on the surface or they think they're deeper than they really are. But until we understand that we have much to learn and we have deeper places to go in the Word, we will not pray this prayer. Lord, teach me. Teach me. Because I don't know. I don't know. You with me? Now, some people think that the more they study, the more they will know. I'm here to tell you, the more you study, the more you will realize how much you don't know. This is a vastness of God that we are trying to comprehend and we never can. But we should ask the Lord to teach us. We want to know. We want to know more of Him. Then notice the requirement. Do you know that it's one thing to read the Word of God and it's quite another thing to understand the Word of God? You can read it, and when you're done, not have a clue what they said. Say amen. That's what happened to me when I read Moby Dick in college. I read it, and I thought I understood it until the teacher began to tell me the things that I had missed in the story. Well, I could have read it 100 times, and I would have missed that. Amen. The symbolism and the allegories that were in apparently in the story that I just didn't get. I read it, but I didn't understand it. Do you know that's possible with the Bible? That we can read it and simply not understand it. Matter of fact, I would say this. If God doesn't give us understanding, we won't understand it. Did you hear me? If God doesn't give us understanding, we can't understand it. You could give this book to the most intellectual person ever born, and he could not understand it if God did not give him the understanding of it. He must open the Word of God to us. If we are going to go deeper in the Word, we must recognize that, number one, we're not very deep now, and we need the Lord to teach us and to make us understand His Word. Or else I can't go. If God doesn't take us deeper, we can't go deeper. So, what we want to do is we want to go deeper so that, the psalmist says, so that we might speak of His wondrous works. Do you know why we don't often speak of His wondrous works? We're on the surface. What do you find on the surface? Where are the valuable minerals found? If you're just raking the lawn, you're just getting leaves. Right? Don't you feel like a lot of churches are just, they got leaves going, they're raking leaves. If you're going to get precious things, you've got to go deeper. Say amen. And when you find those deeper things, they're wondrous. And you want to speak of those things. Here's my problem. When I have problems, I want to talk about my problems. Say amen. And when I'm talking about my problems, I'm not talking about God. You right? Am I right? But if I am understanding, if the Lord is teaching me the Scriptures as I read them, as I study them, as I hear them being preached, if God is teaching me and God is enabling me to understand, I'm seeing something greater and more wondrous and more splendid than my problems. Therefore, I talk about Him. Let me give you an example. We went and saw the Grand Canyon. Remarkable. Remarkable. And then we were going somewhere else, and on the side of the road there was a sign that said Scenic view, pull 1 mile scenic view, and it's one of those little pull-ins where you pull over and you can look at the little scenic view and take a picture. And so we went by that, me and Denise looked at that scenic view, and we said, apparently, they haven't seen the Grand Canyon. Because once you see the Grand Canyon, that's not a very scenic view. Say amen. Once you find out the truths and the wondrous things in Scripture, your problems aren't so big anymore. Amen? So God, deepen us. Teach us. Help us to understand Your Word so that we might speak of Your wondrous works and not so much of our problems. Number three, the disappointments of life. Verse 28. My soul melteth for heaviness. Strengthen thou me according unto thy word. Let me ask you, has this ever happened to you? You're discouraged. You're depressed. The things of life have really thrown you for a loop. You are like the psalmist who is in the dust and can't seem to muster the strength to rise above it. And then you pray, you cry out to God, He hears you. And through His Word, He raises you, He encourages you, He strengthens you. And then something else happens, and you slip right back to where you were. Did that ever happen to you? The psalmist here speaks of the reality of a relapse, arising from the dust, only to return to the dust. Now, notice what it is that brought upon the relapse. My soul melteth for heaviness. The word melteth there means sorrow. It means to weep. Something has happened in his life that has brought him great sorrow, great pain, that has caused him to weep. The word heaviness means grief. There's some sort of grief that has happened in his life that has caused him to weep. And you know as well as I do, there are all kinds of things that can happen into our life that will bring us to tears and sorrow. Things that crush our heart, that empty our tear ducts of their tears. And just when it seems that we're finding traction, just when it seems that we're finding our footing, getting out of the dust, something happens to cause us to slide right back down into dust. So now what do? I understand that if I'm in the dust, I can find help to get out of the dust with the Word, but what happens when I'm out and then I'm back in? Well, what's he say? Strengthen thou me according to thy word. He says that the strength to overcome sorrow and overcome grief comes from the word of God. Again, do we not look for relief in a million places except the word of God? We look for relief in people. We look for relief in prescriptions. We look for relief in a lot of different places except the Word of God. The Word strengthens us, the psalmist says here. Cause me to stand by the Word is what he's saying. The Word will cause me to stand. Strength to stand. Strength to walk. Strength to run again comes from the Word. How do we overcome disappointment? How do we overcome sorrow? How do we overcome grief? By the Word. Amen? What is the best thing you can tell someone who is going through grief, going through sorrow? Read the Word. Amen? Number four, the dishonesty of life. The dishonesty of life. The psalmist says, remove from me the way of lying and grant me thy law graciously. If you were in my place, you would hear a lot of parents make the claim that their children would never lie. And I tell them, to their much displeasure, that their kid will lie and has lied and will lie again. Say amen. But you know, there's a lot of parents in denial about their kids. There's a lot of Christians in denial about themselves. Do you know who the person is that we are most dishonest with? Ourselves. The psalmist realizes that. He says, remove from me the way of lying. The thing that we have the most difficult thing doing is admitting how sinful we really are. You know the old adage, you got to get them lost to get them saved? Do you know it's hard to get anybody to realize they're lost anymore? Say amen. Unless you're drowning, you don't need a lifeguard. Say amen. But if I'm drowning, I need a lifeguard. I need something thrown out to me to help me. Say amen. People get upset. When the preacher preaches, or when somebody talks about how really bad we really are, because we just tend not to see ourselves that way. We tend to see ourselves as good people. Or at least we're not as bad as most. The psalmist asked the Lord if he would remove from him the way of lying. And I think it is a lying to himself. It is a denial of his sinfulness. Maybe a denial of his discouragement. Maybe a denial of his disappointment. But a denial of his sinfulness. And when we deny that we are sinful, when we deny that we're nothing more than dust, when we deny that we're nothing more than worms, when we cannot figure out that it is a marvel beyond all marvels that the God of the universe would even glance our way, we are denying who we really are. Listen to me. You're nothing. You're dust. You're worthless. Except you're God's. You find your worth in Him, not in yourself. And if we don't come to that reality, we are not being dishonest. We are not being honest with ourselves. But again, notice the diagnosis for our dishonesty. What's the best way for me to treat a failure or a reluctance to acknowledge who I really am? Read the Bible. You know, the most non-self-esteem, patting, cuddling, kumbaya singing book there is? The Bible. The Bible is a mirror. It's going to show you the greatness of God, and it's going to show you for who you really are. It's going to show me for who I really am. And what he says here is, use the law. Grant me thy law. Do you know what the law does to us? And what the law can only do to us? Condemn us. No matter what law there is, the law says, Mike Belcher, you have failed. You are condemned. And here's the bad thing. If I break one, I broke them all. You with me? See, the Bible is the mirror that reveals to us how really sinful we are. And it's a good thing, because listen, there's no good news until there's bad news. Say amen. How do I know that it's good news? Because you told me it's bad, the bad news first. Now, how do you feel when you get bad news? Don't you feel bad? And isn't the good news good? When you get the good news. Now understand this. We have to give both. If we just give good news, then we produce a lot of people who have no understanding of their sinfulness. If we just preach the bad news, then we produce a bunch of legalists who are trying to do better and try harder. What we have to do in everything that we do is teach the bad news and the good news. The bad news is you are condemned. The bad news is you can't help yourself. The bad news is you are bad as bad. The good news is Jesus came to save bad people like us. That's the diagnosis. Read the Bible. Find out how really sinful you are so that you know that you feel your need of Christ and you feel your need of His forgiveness every single day. The Word of God is not going to sugarcoat anything. Read it. It is the truth, and it reveals the truth about us. I'm reminded of a story about Oliver Cromwell. Oliver Cromwell was not a handsome man. That's a polite way to say he was pretty ugly. But Oliver Cromwell had this big old wart on his face, and as they began to do the portrait of Oliver Cromwell, the artist was going to paint him without the wart. Amen. How many wish we had painters today instead of photographs, or at least we were better at Photoshop, that we could get rid of the. But you know what Oliver Cromwell said? He said, "Don't do it. You paint me, warts and all." Do you know what the Bible will do? It will show you warts and all. Amen? So that we feel the need and we're driven to Christ. Number 5, and I'm done. the determination of life. Here's what he says: I have chosen the way of truth. Thy judgments have I laid before me. I have stuck unto thy testimonies. O Lord, put me not to shame. I will run the way of thy commandments when thou shalt enlarge my heart. When it comes to the Word of God, reading it, studying it, understanding it, being taught by God through it, we as Christians must be more determined than what we are. Say amen. If we read it at all, we read it very little. And what this psalm tells us is that if we want to be happy, happiness is in the Word of God. And holiness is in the Word of God. And humility and the honoring of God. Sanctification is in the Word of God. And encouragement for my disappointments. Encouragement for my depressions. And encouragement for my discouragements is in the Word of God. So if those things are true, should we be not determined, be more determined about reading and hearing the Word of God? We have to have some kind of determination in our pursuit of God. You understand it's not just going to pop in your head? That doesn't work. Finding encouragement in the Word of God will come as we are determined to find encouragement in the Word of God. In other words, hope I find something in here today. I'm about to go crazy. Go to the Bible determined that you are going to find something, that God is going to help you. Say amen. And if He doesn't help me today, I'll be back tomorrow. And if He doesn't help me tomorrow, I'll be back the next day. I'm determined to find help because God promised help. The resolve for the Word of God. He says, I have chosen the way of truth. I have laid your judgments before me. I have stuck with your testimonies. If we come to the realization that our help comes from the Word of God, we will resolve to spend time in the Word of God. If this is where my help comes from, I'll be in the help. To examine it, to seek, to find help in it. He says, I have chosen the Word. I am sticking with the Word. Don't put me to shame, Lord. Don't fail me, God. I put all my eggs in this basket. I am determined to find help here. I'm determined to find victory here. Don't disappoint me, Lord. Now, do you think God's going to disappoint you? If He said helps here, helps here. We have to be more determined to read it and study it and spend time in it. We need to choose the Word as our help, and we will stick with the Word. Again, it's not a quick fix oftentimes. I read a book about a man who lost his child. The young child died, I forget how, for what reason. But he said that he was in the Psalms for over a year before God gave him help. That's determination. That's determination that his help is in God and in the Word of God. And he stuck with the Word of God until God opened up the Word and helped him. Say amen. The relationship with the Word. Notice what he says here. He says, I have chosen the way of truth. Thy judgments have I laid before me. I have stuck unto thy testimonies. O Lord, put me not to shame. I will run the way of thy commandments. I will do this. I will choose the truth. I will lay these judgments out. I will stick with your testimonies. I'll run the way of thy commandments if and when you enlarge my heart. Do you see that? You can determine whatever you want to determine, and it won't happen if God doesn't help you. Say amen. You can make all the New Year's resolutions you want to, but if God isn't in it, they're going to fail. The resolve for the Word of God is connected to God enlarging our heart. In other words, if God does not give you the resolve to resolve, then you won't have the resolve. Does that make sense? Let me say it again. If God doesn't give you the resolve to resolve, you can't resolve. God must enlarge our hearts. God must be doing the work in us, or we won't go God's way. It is God who works in and through us to will and to do. Say amen. It is me willing and doing, but it is God who is firing the will and the do. So what the psalmist is saying is this: I'll stick with the Word. I'll look to the Word. I'll depend upon the Word. I'll follow the Word. If you help me do it, God. And again, it is that dependence on the work of God, dependence on the power of God. Our resolve for the Word depends on the work of God in our hearts, because what we'll do is we'll say, all right, I believe the preacher's right. I believe the psalmist is right. I'm going to read my Bible more. I'm going to study it more. I'm going to get up early and I'm going to pray and study, and that'll go for about a week or two, and then you know what? If God's not in it. You got to constantly say, God, enlarge my heart. Help me stick with your Word. Help me look to your Word. I need your help. Tomorrow morning, I want to get up and I want to read your Word. Help me get up. Help me read your Word. Help me understand. Teach me. Our prayer must be, Lord, enlarge my heart so that I can resolve to choose and to stick with your Word to help me in my discouragements, to help me in my disappointments, to help me with my dishonesty, and to deepen my spiritual life in you. There are 1,000 other things that the devil has put in our lives that distract us from reading the Word of God. Right? 1,000 things. 1,000 things for us to do instead of looking to the most beneficial thing we have. You watch an hour of TV, you know what you've done? You've wasted an hour. You search an hour on the internet, you know what you've done? You've wasted an hour. Say amen. You spend an hour in the Word, you have not wasted an hour. Right? We have to come back to the place that we understand that our help is from God, and God helps us through His Word. May we look to it, may we depend upon it, may we pray that God would always keep us in it. Amen? Dear Heavenly Father, bless the Word to your people's hearts. I pray that you would begin with me. God, that you would give me the ability to turn off the TV, to turn off the computer, and to read your Word, knowing that when I am disappointed and when I am discouraged, I will find encouragement in the Word of God. When I need a fresh view of who I really am, I find that in the Word of God. And I pray that our determinations to be more in the Word of God would always depend and rest in the power of God to enlarge our hearts toward that. Thank you for your Word. Help us to see the tremendous benefit it has for us. In Christ's name.